So stress needs to be addressed. Stress compounds. That means what you didn't deal with a year ago will stay with you. It's something that you need to address. You need to begin to work to heal or eliminate from your life.
You are listening to Our Urban Voices with Dr. Alphonse Javet, a podcast that presents Christian narratives through diverse voices that impact urban ministry. Here is your host.
Hello and welcome back to Our Urban Voices. I'm your host, Dr. Alphonse Javet. Today, we are joined by Tracy Braylock, a holistic nurse educator and wellness consultant. She advocates for mind, body, spirit-filled being, holistic wellness experiences, and liberating relaxation. She is the author of Radical Relaxation, Releasing the Stress You Were Never Meant to Carry. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tracy. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
That's awesome. So here's how we're going to start. Before we get started, please tell us very briefly about your family. We can get to know each other a little bit, but also it provides a good connection point for our audience, our listeners as well.
Great. Yes. My husband and I have been married for over 17 years. We have 4 young children and a dog, a mini Bernedoodle who keeps us all busy. And so family life is good. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so glad because families do make us more human and relatable. So before you talk about stresses of other people, it's important to know that you are a person who has a family life and living in this society, and you're dealing with those things too. Yeah. So let's talk about your book. In your book, Radical Relaxation, you talk about your experiences as an operating room nurse. Yeah. How has that shaped your view about the human body and wellness?
Oh, wow. Yes. Working in the operating room, I have been present for surgeries on every part of the body. So I really have an intimate, you know, perspective of how powerful and how well-designed we are. You know, even when we're dealing with sickness, when there's pain in the body, those are indicators. The body's trying to point us back in the right direction to maintain our wellness. And so, you know, the body, I'm just amazed by it. It's clearly a divinely orchestrated instrument, and it's designed to keep us here and thriving for as long as possible. When it comes to wellness, I learned along the way working in the operating room that that's where I wanted to focus my attention on, you know, helping people remain well and prevent illness so maybe they could avoid the operating room. And it's just important for people to understand that their bodies are strong, they are fighting for you, and, you know, I want to help you maintain your wellness as long as possible.
Yeah. So I got 2 different perspectives that why I think this conversation is very important for the church audience, pastors, and especially pastors and missionaries or faith workers in the urban context. Number one is when I was in Bible college, one of the early courses I took, it was on counseling. And the pastor said that most pastors, he gave the percentage then. And now I'm talking about some 18, 20 years ago, 20 years ago, most likely. So the professor said that most pastors die of heart attack. Mm-hmm. And I then his thought was because of stress, a lot of stress they carry. But to me, it was also later on when I was in seminary, I took classes on psychology and all those things. So there was one book, and this book talked about the idea that how pastors, especially in the Protestant denominations, those pastors, they divorce the idea of Catholic certain aspects, like gluttony, for example. That's what he was talking about. And he said they divorce that idea, but at the same time, they drag themselves to, because their health practice is not good. So they drag themselves to death. Therefore, they have unhealthy bodies. So there are two perspectives. In my college, I heard of stress being the indicator or reason for why pastor is dying. And in seminary, I heard that, well, you don't take care of your body, Therefore, mm-hmm. you drag it to right. that depth.
Right.
So with that, I want to explore both things because your book is about holistic care. Right. So we often hear that people are stressed. What does stress mean? That's number one. And what does it do to the human body?
Well, stress is subjective. That means what seems stressful to me, you may not even care about or notice. And so what it's important to note that stress has the same reaction within our bodies, no matter what the stressor is. And so stress is what you perceive to be a threat or a stressor, something that is disrupting your peace, something that bothers you, causes you not to be able to proceed as normal. That's a stressor. And so again, shaping our perspective when things are challenging, can we do something about it? And if so, okay, let's take it slowly, one step at a time, but let's work towards a solution versus focusing on the thing that is the threat. So stress needs to be addressed. Stress compounds. That means what you didn't deal with a year ago will stay with you. It's something that you need to address. You need to begin to work to heal or eliminate from your life because over time, it is dragging you. I listened to that story and I believe both are accurate. I believe that stress, especially those in leadership positions, you can't keep pushing it down. You can't ignore it. The weight of the responsibility and the interaction with others who feel stressed, those things are important to address. And yes, so I believe that stress coupled with you not paying attention to your body or doing what's necessary to heal, maintain your wellness, those both can drag you down. Yeah.
Do you have some signs that we should watch out for, some symptoms of stress that we should be
absolutely
aware of?
Yes. Common signs and symptoms physically can be headaches, muscle tension, fatigue, sleep disturbances, even the way your digestion is working, like sometimes your stomach is upset or it's just not processing well. Those are physical signs. Emotionally, it can look like anxiety, irritability, just overwhelmed and this feeling of restlessness. And also spiritually, you just kind of feel disconnected. You kind of feel aimless almost. And then behaviorally, you have to notice yourself. You have to be self-aware. So has your appetite changed? Are you sort of isolating away from those who matter to you or your loved ones? Are you spending less time in your community? Sometimes that social isolation is an indicator that something is bothering you, you are stressed, and you're disconnected. So yes, collectively, there are a variety of ways that you can notice when you are experiencing some stress.
Now let's talk about a little bit. So those are very physical things we can feel, and those are helpful indicators or symptoms that you just mentioned. But let's talk about a little bit a spiritual aspect of them. So what biblical truths do we need to understand as we face stress in our lives?
I think it's important that we understand that biblical instruction has a tangible impact on us. Do not fear, be anxious for nothing. Those instructions are designed to protect you. When you are fearful, when you are anxious, it causes a reaction within your body. It changes your hormones. It can change your brain structure. And these are things that we do not want, but they are also things that we can prevent as we understand and apply the biblical truth, the wisdom there, even casting all your cares. You are not alone. You're not meant to carry the weight of it all alone, solitary. You have a higher source that you can depend and rely upon. And I think so much of stress is understanding everything's not on you. This is a partnership. This is a relationship. And having your higher source to rely on is critical to how you experience your everyday life.
Tracy, you advocate holistic healing, mind, body, and spirit. What does taking care of each of those parts of us look like in the Christian context?
It's understanding that we have all of those components. I think many times in healthcare, you know, we might go to the doctor for our foot, but that's not the totality of who we are. So it's the same with your mind, body, and spirit. You have to be intentional about caring for each aspect of who you are and doing what's necessary to heal, whether that's working with a care provider, sometimes a therapist, close loved ones, your church members, whoever is in your community who you can go to, trust, communicate with, and shoulder things with. That's very important. So it's important to understand that God cares about every aspect of who you are, your mind, your body, your spirit. The thoughts that you're thinking impact how you feel. It impacts that stress response within you. Are you connecting? Are you praying? Are you just being still? Are you constantly filling up your time with busyness and you're missing that connection? Because you can be experiencing aches and pains, not realizing that this isn't just a physical thing. These are emotional pains. These are spiritual pains. And when they're unaddressed, they still show up. They still show up in your body, because sometimes it's like a nudge back into alignment with who you really are and your source of who you really need in order to navigate this journey.
That's good. For people who work with or interact with people as part of their profession, such as pastors, ministry leaders, and caregivers, how can they prevent burnout and also keep enough time for their own families?
I think it's important that we understand that our pastors, our clergy, everyone, they are living this human experience as well. They're not above sickness. They're not above stress. And so, but first, it's important that they understand that of themselves and that they build in support for themselves, whether it's communities of, you know, other pastors, other ministry leaders, people who they can talk to and sort of debrief, you know, to have honest conversations of what they're experiencing in spaces where they can release that. You know, sometimes it's not with their family, because maybe the family doesn't fully understand the role and the responsibility, but to have someone, to have a community is vital. It's vital to the work. It's vital to your longevity, because that stress is real. And you, just like whether it's a physician, you are tending to lives, stories, situations, and sometimes they're unimaginable. Sometimes there are things, you know, that you didn't think you were going to encounter. They're heavy. They're heavy. And the weight of it, again, can cause physical issues within you. And so in order to maintain your wellness so that you can remain well for your mission, for the work that you do every day, you have to do what I call the basics. Drink water. Go for a walk. Make sure you're getting sleep. Eating nutritiously, doing those basic things, that's the minimum. That's the minimum of how you check in with yourself, how you release that stress, and how you maintain your wellness. And then be open to getting additional support if that's what you need. If it's mental health support, if it's therapy, whatever it is, these things should not be stigmatized. They should be normalized as a part of how we're all going to navigate together and be well together.
Now, I'm thinking as you're talking, as a pastor, it's exactly what you're saying. It's both. It's the heavy stresses that you don't expect and they come into your life. But then day-to-day stresses that somebody just suddenly, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, right? Mm-hmm. So this song or that person or small little thing that should not be an issue, and in what I call it, managing feelings. So I think when it comes down to managing feelings, it consumes you. I think a pastor doesn't have to deal with the managing feeling. It would be such an amazing opportunity to speak into people's life and just speak what the word of God is saying, move forward rather than, okay, how he's feeling, how she's feeling, how this is going to be seen. And you have to, if you say a word or a phrase, you have to justify with another, I don't mean to this or that. And especially in the context of the where we are today, right?
Right.
So even sermons, right? You can't emphasize the same thing every Sunday. If especially in my case or in churches where it's the expositional teaching and they literally going verse by verse from a book, you can't just interrupt that and bring something that they're, oh, this is not addressed. And you can't please everybody. That's another part, right? Even though mentally I know that I'm not supposed to be pleasing people, there's only one audience that I'm supposed to be pleasing. But at the same time, as a pastor, you got to keep the flock together. When they are not happy, division happened, rumor happened. So you got to make sure people are happy in that sense, which is so much more stress. And especially when you put that in the context of urban setting where cultures play a huge role, upbringing plays a huge role, your economical background, education, all these things are factors where one will like one thing, the other one will not like the other thing, and opinions and convictions based on those opinions create such a unique flavor that for each person that it's hard to deal with anyone. And I think the problem for pastors like me is I take everything, you know, I take everything very seriously. I don't dismiss every single person. Opinion is important to me, which I'm trying to learn not to just give into everything. But it's so, so important that because it's like my children. Every child is unique. Every child is, I'm not saying that I'm there, I'm not the dad of my congregation. But at the same time, the care is same. Love is same. But at the same time, it's hard for my children to see me. I see them, but they can't see me. And it's in some time, I think that's what happens with pastors. We see them, but they don't see us. I'm not just talking about me. Most of the pastors I speak to share that experience too. I think even the basic things, just talking about, you know, taking a walk and that carving that time is feels like, oh, I could give this time to somebody else. I have begun to do that. I think in the last 4 or 5 months I've been doing, I'll just ask people like, hey, why can't we do this meeting while we walk? Right. And I'm trying to do those things. I'm trying to get to that point. Like, I don't need to sit in my office to take this phone call. I can take the phone call and just walk. I literally walk in our gym. So therefore there's something that is keeping my body aligned with my mind that is literally worrying about my congregation. But at the same time, it's hard to expect from the congregation or the care, the person who is receiving care or the people who are receiving care, that they're going to have the same thing for you. I appreciate, and I hope that some of our friends who are listening to this audio, whether they are dealing with same things, they just take these basic principles and apply them. Let me ask, number one, so what can churches do to promote wellness? And then also help the congregation reduce stress without adding a program, which would add more stress to the leadership. So there are three parts of the question, right? So the first one is what can churches do to promote wellness and then help the congregation reduce stress without adding a program, which would add more stress to the leadership?
I would suggest looking for ways that the church can come together, maybe outside of the building, or even if you have space within your building where you're gathering, not necessarily for the purpose of hearing a sermon or a message, but to just be together, you know, whether it's playing games or having conversation, having tea. Sometimes after a long day, you don't really want to talk. So maybe just being together. You know, just ways in which we understand we're cultivating community and relationship, and it doesn't have to be hard, and it doesn't have to be taxing. It doesn't have to be an additional program, you know, like who's going to lead this program and, you know, what time do we show up? Something that's less rigid fewer rules, you know, just play, relax together, you know, is it meeting at the park? Is something that can be creatively done, but doesn't cost anything except maybe a few minutes, some time. I also, maybe during announcement time, maybe that's a way that churches can encourage people to maintain their wellness. Remind people, hey, are you drinking your water? How much sleep did you get last night? You
right.
know, or take a nap after you leave here. Drop little hints along the way, just little reminders, tips for people. Doesn't have to be big. If you have a website or if you print off a program, leave little notes in there, little things that people can digest, reflect upon, little seeds along the way that they are noticing. But again, it's not this big cost. It's not, you know, asking somebody else to do another job, but it's something that, you know, shows that we care. We care about one another, and mm-hmm. that we are being intentional about caring for ourselves so that we can stay here together and do the work collectively.
So what are your favorite and most effective ways to release stress?
Well, I have been taking those daily walks.
Okay.
That's very helpful. I also listen to music regularly, probably daily, and that's more like nature sounds, waterfalls, wind, things like that. I don't know if people are aware, but nature is very healing, whether you're standing outside at the park, whether you are looking at an image, whether you're hearing the sound, nature is healing for us. And so I try to incorporate that throughout my day as much as possible. Also aromatherapy. I like to use essential oils. I kind of create triggers. And so, you know, the calming scents, I will use those regularly, and they just help me to remember to be in a certain posture, to calm down. Everything's okay, you know, to slow down in the midst of the busyness. Again, four children, and I work from home. So, you know, I have to be intentional about how I place things throughout my home. You know, I'll have my essential oils in certain locations so that as I'm going, I experience that reminder, you know, to calm down, to take a moment to breathe. Just little things. I write every day, and that's really helpful. I write to encourage others, but I also write to just get things out of my head, you know, to process later maybe, or to just, oh, it's out. I feel better already. But those are the things that I do basically on a daily basis to help me out. Yeah.
So as we close, is there anything else you would like to add to this conversation?
I just like to remind people that relaxation is a muscle. It's like a muscle that you can build and strengthen. And so do it as often as possible. I say daily, but maybe you have to work up to that, because we as basically as a culture respond stressfully often all day, whether it's because you heard the news or, you know, something on social media. There are a lot of ways that just cause us to have that stress-filled reaction. And so what we can do is begin to practice relaxing. Mm-hmm. We can practice it so that it becomes more natural to kind of not react at all, or to react with a less stressful reaction,
and
to just begin to heal from the inside out that way, being intentional about relaxing. One simple way, if you have no idea how to relax for yourself, because along the way I've encountered people are like, I don't even know what that means for me. So one simple thing, think of a time when you felt calm. Was it a family vacation? Is it, you know, sitting, reading your favorite book? Whatever that looks like for you, think about that moment. Even the thought of a time when you were relaxed is beneficial and can cause you to relax instantly.
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful, very practical and simple steps that people can take. If listeners want to get in touch with you or find your books, what are the easiest ways?
The easiest way is by my website, tracybraylock.com, and it's TRACIE. Or I'm at Tracy Braylock on all social media. You can find, links to my books or just plenty of resources to help you stay well. Yeah.
Great. Our listeners can find all of that in the episode's description or our website, which is oururbanvoices.com. For the last thing, because we talk about heavy topics, as I'm talking to you, I was getting more intense because I don't relax. So I was like, I need to learn to relax. So I would like to ask you to tell a joke to lighten the mood. Uh-oh. This is my way of relaxing. You tell me the joke so I can relax.
Okay. Remember, I'm a nurse, right? Okay. So where is the worst place you can hide in the hospital?
Where?
The ICU.
Oh, I see you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Again, that was Tracy Braylock. And thank you to you, all our listeners. We truly could not do this without you. If you learned something, have a topic suggestion, or would like to leave us feedback, drop us a note at oururbanvoices.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave an honest review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You've been listening to Our Urban Voices with Dr. Alphonse Javed, which presents Christian narratives through diverse voices that impact urban ministry.